Thank you, Ian. Oh, isn't it nice to have Jez and Jill Fletcher and Living Hope Church with us? Should we give them a big round of applause? It's fantastic. Jez and Jill Fletcher are two of the most radiant, lovely Christians you'd ever meet. Who'd agree with that? Absolutely true. Absolutely beautiful people of God. The great friends of mine and Margaret's. They were a great help to us when we were younger, a lot younger. And they really looked after us when we first joined Emmanuel Fellowship. You know, it's weird when you go to a new church, isn't it? Some of you experience that right now. It's really strange when you go to a new church and you're meeting new people. And some of the people we met straight away were Jez and Jill. And they really loved me and Margaret and welcomed us into their home. And they let us sleep over often with our kids in their house. And when we were at Bible college, we'd come back and spend whole weekends together at their house. Absolutely phenomenal people, aren't they? Those of you who know them know they really are. Jez is a beautiful, beautiful guy. He's kept his hair. He's kept his weight under control. And he looks like Bruce Willis. Will you give a big Amazing Grace welcome to Jez Fletcher? He's got a slow walk up, so it's a big round of applause. Come on! We love him! He's awesome!
Thank you. I've got to live up to that now, so that's really difficult. I've got the Stuart Bray torch because my eyes are failing, and I just want to use it. So whether I need it or not, I'll keep clicking that on and off. I've got to keep this close, haven't I? If I start shouting, wave at me, won't you? You know what? It is nice to be here. To say that it has a good feeling is an obvious understatement. It's great to be here with you guys. As Martin said, we have known him for a long time. We started the same church, I think it was 1992, I think I remember, and we both decided to move to a new church for very different reasons, and we both, unbeknown to each other, and didn't know each other. I know what you mean by now, you can't see people, but you hope they're out there. We didn't know each other at all, and we started at this church in West Street in Yarm, and for very different reasons. But we went on the same day, the first Sunday. They were new there, we were new there, and we didn't know anyone else. And we just got on. We both liked chocolate cake. We both liked the great, stupid British sense of humour. And we both liked the Benny Hinn hairstyle. So we were really in, and we were getting our white suits all measured up and everything, but nothing really came of that. But I remember Jill coming home. You know, this was new for us. We used to be in the Brethren Church, and you can imagine what that was like. And here we were at a spirit-filled, mad church in Yarm that was great for us. It was just the right thing and what we needed. But and we met Martin and Margaret and the family. We clicked and got on really well. But Jill came home. I think it was the second Sunday she was there. And you know, when you have little kids and some of you go out on a night and then some of you stay at home, and it was my turn to stay at home and Jill went out. She came back raving about this guy. And it was Martin, you know. Remember that guy we met, Martin? He got up and he wants to go into the streets of Yarm and preach. You've got to go with him. And I'm going, what? You must be mad. And anyway, we went round the streets of Yarm and a few other streets, I think, preaching, carrying crosses, standing up and declaring the love of God. And you know what? It broke a lot of barriers in me. It really did. I had a lot of fears and reservations, and some of them were really broken. Anyway, where's my torch? So we've known your guys for a long time. Actually, and that was from 1992. I've even known Ian even long. I don't know, actually, but I... 1987. Ian and I used to work together, and back in the old days of Davy and Caverna, and I've known Ian for a long time, and it's actually great that I know just about all of the leaders that are here. It's really great to be here. Anyway, that's all I'm really going to say on that. We are running a house church in Ingleby, Barwick, and we've been really blessed with you guys as well. I know we're doing a mad thing at the moment, which is running church in our home and reaching out to people that probably, you know, not going to mainstream church or wouldn't go, or to our neighbours and those people that are around us. We went to a New Wine conference about 6 years ago and got this fresh expression idea of doing something just where we are and in our home and with what's in our hand. That was the phrase that came to us. And we started doing that, and we love it. And our guys are here really, really pleased that that you're all here, Living Hope Fellowship, meeting in our house in Ingleby, Barwick, you know, declaring the name of Jesus into an area in our community. It's great at the moment. We're running a marriage course, and we've got some of our neighbours on that, as well as some guys from the church. Some neighbours who've never been to anything else before as well. So we're running the Holy Trinity Brompton Marriage Course, which is great. Pray for them. Pray that God breaks into that situation as well as helping people with tools in their marriage. That would be great. What I was saying was, you guys have really blessed us because quite a few of you have come to our once a month open house that we do. Once a month we like to have an evening service rather than the morning. We open the place up. We have a lot of food and drink, and we have somebody's testimony, and we invite more people that wouldn't normally come to church, and some of the neighbors, friends, relatives, those people. And some of you guys have been, you guys as a church have really blessed us by sending people to that, and we're very, very thankful. And lives have been touched, you know, lives that wouldn't have, where the gospel wouldn't have reached, lives have been touched for that. So it's really fantastic. We also asked our guys to pray, wanted to be a blessing to you in any way that we could. And take another offering. Yeah. We asked our guys to pray, and actually there was a couple of people that had something just to say, so I'll just say them as well if I can. One from a lady that's with us here this morning, and I can absolutely guarantee you that this is from God. You know, messages don't have to be that long, do they? But this, I know from this lady that gave me this, that this is from God, and this is a message that she felt for when she was praying for Amazing Grace. The message is, the light is shining. The light is shining. And I know when you get words, sometimes it can be, sometimes it goes deep, doesn't it? And sometimes you've got to let that go deep. And as I was praying about that as well, I did get, here we go. If you're modern, you use your phone instead of your Bible, don't you? So I'm going to read off my phone. In Isaiah 60, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, a thick darkness is over the people, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." And I really felt that was connected with the word that Jackie brought, was that the light is shining. There was also a word that there was a picture of a brand new spade that was stood next to some ground that needed work, and then actually I thought the word was about the spade, but then a JCB came along, and crazily enough, in a cartoon style, it was Martin riding the JCB. But there you go. This JCB came along, and I'm sure he speaks of the whole church, and started digging the ground next to the spade. And where you thought the spade was the tool that was necessary to do this digging and it was going to be really hard work, I think God was saying there's going to be something coming, maybe an idea or a strategy or a way of doing it, that is just going to make it so much easier for you to dig that ground. And actually connected with that, there was a word about digging deeper, digging deeper. And that was unbeknown to the person who had the JCB picture. So there was a word about digging deeper, and the digger you deep, there will be a pot of gold. Okay, so it might not all be going to the Bahamas and money, but if you dig deeper, there will be a pot of gold. And you've got to let God speak into those things, haven't you? But anyway, wanted to bless you. What a lovely time of worship as well. Okay, have I got? Does that thing work? Can you? Oh, can you? Okay, so you can see that. Okay, I was hoping to read it because I don't really write a lot down. God formed us, sin deformed us, Jesus can transform us. I like little strap lines and sayings like that, you know. What I want to speak about just for a short time this morning, and is about Jesus letting God transform us. Letting God transform us. There's a verse that goes with that, and I'm going to turn to it now. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I think you should have it up there. Hey. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Should I read it off there? It'll be very slightly different text. I won't fall off, I promise. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Great verse. Really great verse from Romans. What a great book Romans is. Spelling out the gospel incredibly clearly for what, you know, there's for what God has done for us. You know, there's no better person I know than Martin, and you'll have had loads of stories. You know, I still tell his stories in churches I go to in terms of trying to understand what has God done for us, you know. That great illustration I remember him telling about sitting your driving test and being concerned about, you know, whether you're going to fail or pass, and understanding Christianity is like going for your driving test and the driving instructor sitting and writing out your pass certificate and handing you it and then saying, right, let's go for a drive. Because that's what God does for us. He cleans our heart. He takes away our sin. When we come to him and ask him to come in to our lives and forgive us, he does everything. He takes away our sin. He wipes the slate clean. He gives us a fresh start. He puts his Holy Spirit inside of us. And he says, right now, let's go for a walk. It's called life. Let's do life together. But, you know, we do also have to, and that's fantastic. Romans is great at setting out the fact that the gospel is nothing about what you or I can do to please God. It's all about what he's done for us. But there is a transformation process that should go on in every Christian. And some of that is down to us, actually. Some of that we have to take part in and let God into our lives and let God help him through his Holy Spirit change our lives so that we become more like him. Is that okay? Is that good doctrine? Is that true? You know, because God does do everything for us, and that is the message of the gospel. It is absolutely fantastic. But if we want to change some of the things in our lives to be more like him, we have to take part in the journey of life with him. And I guess that's some of the things I'm just going to look at together this morning. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 overrides it all. I always remember Bill Hybels. You know Bill Hybels? Bill Hybels is a preacher in America, Chicago area, runs a Willow Creek family of churches, and he's a great evangelist and a great leader. Tells loads of stuff, always wanting to tell people about God, you know, looking for every opportunity. What was his famous book he wrote recently? Just a Walk Across the Room. And when he talks about sometimes all it takes, when you see somebody on the other side and they look lonely, they look unhappy, they look like they need something, it sometimes just takes a walk across the room to set them free and to give God to them. You know, I always remember Jonah. What was his name? Jonah Smith, preaching and saying, you know, we can all be an evangelist. It's not my main gifting's evangelism. Okay, so we're good at helping people, encouraging people, gathering people. Jill's fantastic at other things like pastoring and spiritually pastoring people and speaking. But evangelism is not up there. When you do these tests that test what your spiritual gifts are, I was always desperate for evangelism. I used to lie in the test just to try and get the marks up on evangelism because I wanted it at least in the middle. But you know what? It isn't high on my list of natural spiritual gifts. But you know, the Bible says we're all called to do the work of an evangelist. We don't all have the gift of evangelism, like some of the guys here that are great at it. But we're all called to do the work of an evangelist. And that's what just a walk across the room is like. Sometimes it just takes that little bit of effort to do something. You have to push yourself out of your own comfort zone sometimes when God's prompting you to actually get alongside someone and point them. I was telling you about Jonah Smith one. I was wondering why I was talking about that. Because he spoke once and said, every one of you can be a signpost. And he held out his arm and said, all you have to do is point people to Jesus. If you don't know how to be an evangelist, at least you can do that. You can walk up to someone and say, hey, don't look at my life, don't listen to me, but I can tell you about somebody that can help you. If you put your trust in Jesus, he will help you. And you can point people to Jesus. Bill Hybels, keep track of that time. Bill Hybels tells a story about, he's a good sailor actually, Bill, and part of being a balanced life, I guess, he always had he kept a hobby that he was interested in that was outside of his sort of Christianity working, so that it wasn't totally, and sailing was his thing, and he used to sail with a group of guys that weren't Christians, and they had a team, and they went out in the lakes of Chicago, and they used to take part in different things, and it was his form of outlet and release that was different to what he normally did, which was good for him. And he used to sail with this group of people, and he got a friendly with, he was out on the boat once and got friendly and got invited for dinner on this other boat. And he said the boat that came to pick him up was about the size of his boat, taken into something like one of the Russian oligarchs' boat for dinner. And he and his wife went for dinner, and all the time he said he was praying for an opportunity to speak to this couple about Jesus. He just wanted to get something in about, and he was waiting for the opportunity, you know, what do you do for a job, or what's interesting you, or what do you think about the world today? He said nothing came up, and it frustrated him like mad, because he wanted to have this conversation about Jesus with this couple. And about 2 hours went by, they had a lovely dinner, they had a great time, they got on really well, no conversation about God or Jesus at all. And they got down this long ladder off the side of their very large boat to get in the little boat to get back to their boat. And as he was about 2 steps off the bottom of the ladder, he said the wife called out to him from the boat and said, hey, Bill, what's all this stuff about Christianity that you were interested in? And his heart why didn't that come up 2 hours ago at the start? And he just shouted back after taking the last step off the boat. He said, I just want to say one thing. A lot of people think it's about what you can do. He shouted back, it's nothing about what you can do. It's all about what Jesus has already done for you. And he got in the boat and he went back. And he had to leave it like that with that statement. But you know, at the start of this talk that we're going to talk about transformation, and I don't know where, because I can't, are we still in the verse? Okay. The start of this conversation, it is not about you. You know, the first thing to remember is that it's not about you. Okay. It is all his work. It is all about God. It is about how much we let God into our lives as to how much that transformation is going to take place. Slide number 4 talks about being honest, I think. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Let's look it up. Wow. God's grace has saved you because of your faith in Christ. Your salvation doesn't come from anything you do. It is God's gift. It is not based on anything you have done. No one can brag about earning it. So right at the start, it's important to say that it is all about God. You know, the gospel is incredibly clear. Don't think that you're going to get any chance in heaven to stand up and argue with God and tell him that you're a good person and that there are 50 million other people worse than you and that you've always done the right thing and you've always tried to be kind and you've always tried to be good and you've always tried to help people and you've never really done anyone any harm. The Bible is incredibly clear. We have all sinned and fall short of God's standard. We all need help from God. And if you think you can stand before God and argue that, I can guarantee you, you will fail. Because the Bible is clear. We all need the forgiveness of Jesus in our life. And if we go to heaven without it, we will end up in hell. There is no doubt. The Bible is abundantly clear. But the first thing we have to do is to be honest with ourselves. You know, if you go to Alcoholics Anonymous or Gamblers Anonymous or any of the other anonymous groups that there are, which are fantastic things. The original Alcoholics Anonymous was a very Christian-based organization. If you look at their 12 steps to freedom, even now, Google it and look at it online, at least half of them are Christian-based responses about letting God into your life to help you. It's a great, great tool to use, that whole thing. But what they say is the first step for anybody is to not be in denial, but to be honest and admit where you are. And it takes a while, sometimes a long while, for people to get over that first hurdle, which is about being honest and being open where you are. What they try and do is get you to join the group and sit down and talk and share. And at some point, they encourage you to get up and say, "Hi, I'm Jez, and I'm an alcoholic." Because actually speaking out those words is incredibly powerful for someone. Or, "Hi, I'm Jez, and I'm addicted to gambling." Because most of the time, we don't even want to admit those things to ourselves. Actually, the greatest hurdle for people coming to faith in Christ is the same thing. It's pride. They don't want to say, "Hi, I'm Jez, and I've sinned, and I need the forgiveness of God in my life." The Bible says that if we believe in, that actually, it puts it the other way around first, doesn't it? If we confess with our mouth, and if we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will be saved. Romans 10:9, I think, or something like that. If we confess with our mouth and if we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. Confession is a real part of it. Because if we can't stand up and say, "Hi, I'm Jez, and I've sinned, and I'm going to let God into my life." You know, sometimes we ask people to do that at the end of services. There's a reason we do that. We don't want to embarrass you. You know, we're not in it to make you do something that's just daft or foolish. You know what? We're in it because we know that if you stand up and confess with your mouth, as well as choosing to believe in your heart, that God makes it, God responds to that faith, that it's important for us to speak it out. So number one is be honest. Be honest with ourselves. You know, I'm, how old am I? 54. And when I was 54 this year, June the 6th, 1962, good year. When I was 54 this year, my wife, my lovely, lovely, lovely wife, who I love very, very much, Jill. Just get that in, a couple of brownie points. I heard you laugh, Brian. June the 6th, 1962, yeah, 54 years later, my lovely, lovely wife took me to, what's it called? The York Outlet, designer outlet place where you buy clothes, you know, where you buy all, this one's from Tesco, I think, but where you buy clothes from like Primark and Armani and a bit of stuff that Ian wears, you know, when he's all dolled up and ready for a night out. She took me there, and we went around the Paul Smith shop and the Ted Baker shop, and I was depressed, absolutely depressed. You know what was happening? My wife will bear this out as absolutely true. She was getting me to try all these T-shirts on, you know, T-shirts that were 70 quid, now 20, you look great, you know. Went in the changing room, and I must have spent an hour and a half trying things on and looking at this fat idiot in the mirror. That was staring back at me. And I'm looking at myself, singing, trying to suck it in and, you know, and then letting it out, thinking, what's that? Where did that come from? What's happened to me? And I, honestly, very slowly over the 54 years, I'd gone really fat. You know, run, fat boy, run, I had nothing in it. And it wasn't just like, oh, yeah, you know. Some people carry it well. I was not carrying it well. You know, it was like sticking out there, and it was sticking over my belt, and it was pushing these T-shirts, some of them largey sizey, so sticking these T-shirts right out, and I'm thinking, and Jill will tell you the truth, I can't see her if she's laughing or not, but I say, I am not buying anything. I'm not buying anything. And we went away from there, and I didn't buy a thing. I was totally depressed. And that night we came back and thought, oh, watch a bit of telly, fat program. It was this fat program of a guy in America who'd, and you know what? The process had already started, but watching this program, and you know I cry at anything. I cry at Toy Story and all of the films, mate. But I was even in tears at this film because it got me. There was this guy on telly, and he'd been caught out. The cameras had caught him out, going to all the coffee shops, buying all the donuts, getting all, and then also going to the gym. And then the TV crew were sort of interviewing him, saying, well, why haven't you lost so much weight? What have you eaten this week? He was totally lying about everything. Haven't been there, haven't done that, been to the gym for 3 hours, done all this. And unbeknown to him, they'd recorded it all and played it back to him in front of his family. Oh, I know. I was in tears too. I really was. And they played it back in front of his family, and he was absolutely devastated. And he was caught out. And you know what? It changed him. It showed you the rest of that program. Was it How to Lose Something in a Year? What was that program? He had a whole year to do this thing. And this was like 6 month time, and he'd hardly lost anything. And he wasn't admitting to himself that he needed help. And it got him. And the next 6 months, he'd lost all the weight that he was scheduled to weigh. He was a completely different person by the end of the year because of that experience. Well, you know what got me? It got me too. And I might not look it, right? I might not look it, but I'm thinner than I was 7 months ago. And I can now get into the medium-sized T-shirts that were stacking up in my cupboard that were getting dust on them because I was wearing the one or two T-shirts I loved because they were extra large. And now I'm wearing the lot. And it sometimes takes something, and this is just my point. What have I done? I've done this. It sometimes takes something for us to say, hi, I'm Jez, and I need help. And I need help from God. When it comes to walking with God in our spiritual life and growing with him and developing, don't blame anyone else for your spiritual development because it starts here. Hi, I'm whoever you are, and you need help. You need help from God. Number one, you need help. I've lost track. You try and keep up with what's going on there because is there a quote from Henry Ford? It doesn't matter if there is or there isn't. Slide number six is step two. Let God in. Romans 8 verses 5 to 11. Should we read that? Romans 8 verses 5 to 11. This is good. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And if we've given our lives to Christ, we have the Spirit of God living in us. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal body by this same Spirit living within you. The point I wanted to make out of those verses are that what we think about becomes what we actually do. And you know what? If we've given our lives to Christ at some point, if we've stood up and said, Jesus, I believe in you by faith, I want you to come into my life. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want you to walk with me. Then God puts his Holy Spirit in us. It's a supernatural act he does. Doesn't depend on us. But if we want to live in victory in our walk with God, then we have to let him in and we have to let him transform our lives. Part of that, the biggest part of that, is what we think about. You know, there's a quote about what we think. I think it's, it might even be up there. Is that the? It doesn't matter if it is. Oh, it is. Okay, great. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. It's incredibly powerful, that. Just if you just look at that and look at it a couple of times, because it's true. What you think about will determine what you do. What you do will determine who you are. And what you are will determine your destiny, of how you will be known by other people, and ultimately how you will be known by God. Our minds are incredibly powerful. When we become a Christian, God gives us a new spirit. He gives us a new life. We're born again. You know, he gives us a new purpose and a new direction. But he doesn't give us a new mind. We carry with us into that new life our old mind. And part of our walk with God is to let him transform that mind into the mind of Christ. But it is a process, and we have to play a part in it. We have to admit we need help. We have to, number two, let God in. And when I say let God in, I mean let him in. Let him in. When we become a Christian, we let him in. But every day we need to let him in. I imagine it like, you know, a door. And we open a door when we read God's word. We open a door when we pray. We open a door when we go to church like this and we let God speak to us. We let the worship speak to us. We let God's word speak to us. And you know what? Our life should be full daily of doors and windows. Every opportunity we get. When you get in the car, I'm guilty. When you get in the car, Radio 4, I'm getting old. Radio 4 goes on, bit of news, you know, a bit of talk. And every now and again, I'll put a bit of worship on, or a little bit of Premier, or a little bit of... You know what? Let's just open as many doors and windows as we can to receive what we can from God. If you get 20 minutes in the car, Ian's had 800 and dunkly-doo-dah hours, you know, the cars are a great place now to listen. You know, the phones can stream just about anything. And it's great for us to do that. And I'd encourage you. It's an encouragement, because I'm not good at myself. I love the radio. I love the news. I love the talk. But you know what? It's great when I love God and I let him in as well. And I play something on the worship, or I listen to a talk and just let God speak to us. Open. If you want to be victorious in your life, open as many doors and windows as you can to God. I've totally lost where I'm up to. But we're getting near the end. Faith is a choice for me as well. There's a thing on faith, and you know what? I'll just talk for 30 seconds on that. I just wanted to say this because this has been a struggle of mine. Faith has been a bit of a struggle of mine. It doesn't always come naturally to people. I used to be jealous of people who just believed. Do you know what I mean? I had like a million questions. If anyone spoke to me about anything, I love the neutrino thing, by the way. I love science, and I love all of that interest. I walk the dog every night, and you'd think I get sick of it, but I don't. I look up at the stars, and I love it. I love the size of the universe. I love thinking where it all came from. How did God do all of this? How big is it? How old is it? All of that sort of stuff. And for me, the Christianity, I believed in Jesus and the power of God, but trying to equate the two was always a bit of a struggle for me, because I had millions of questions. And an encouragement, if you're like that, I just want to say this for 30 seconds. If you're like that, actually faith can be, you know, what is faith? The Bible's quite clear what faith is. Believing what you don't see, Hebrews 1. Faith is believing what you don't see. And for me, faith sometimes comes down to choosing to believe. You know, sometimes it comes down to that. It isn't naturally there. I can't see God. When I pray, I don't know that he's there. And I do, because you do. But I don't really.
I'm choosing to believe that he's there when I'm praying. I'm choosing to believe that he helps me when situations change and things open up. For me, faith was definitely a journey that I had to go on. I had to find my own faith. And, you know, my parents had faith, and they taught me the Christian ways. And sometimes that's enough for people. It wasn't for me. I actually rebelled, and I went away, and I tried to run away from God. And some of you guys here know that. Very emotional time for me. It's not a joke, you know, when I say that, because I nearly went off the rails and went away from God. But I was really, I think, looking back, I was struggling to find my own faith, and I found it. And I'm so much more happier now. I still have a billion questions, but I'm so much more happier understanding faith and choosing to believe and follow it. And letting some of those feelings come afterwards. Okay, you know what? I'm probably just talking to myself, but because I know the journey that I've been on. I wanted to say that in case there was one or two people that felt the same way. You know what? I'd encourage you, because it's true and it's there and it's real. And the rewards you get for choosing to follow God are fantastic. You know what? Step one, step two, step three. Be honest and real with yourself. We all need help. Let God in as many times as you can. And step three is about involving others, actually. Letting other people. In Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 to 12, and we'll finish with this. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. The triple cord is often spoken of as two people and God together. But the whole idea of this is don't try and do it alone. You know, you need to, especially if you want to change things in your life that are habits and they're wrong and they're bad habits, and we often have them, and we, you know what, we gloss them over. We put some nice, you know, I have some stuff in the house, and, you know, Jill knows I'm like this. I'm terrible with DIY. If I see some sort of rot coming through on the wood, I'll just get some gloss, go over the top, you know. It looks great for a while. What's going on underneath is horrendous. But actually, it looks okay on the surface. I'll just put some more gloss on. And what God wants to do is strip off the paint. And sometimes for you to be able to do that, you will need to let other people in. I say that really carefully, but really honestly. And it's biblical as well. We need to let sometimes. God does all the work. But actually, there are brothers and sisters here in this church. If you're going through trouble and struggling with something, you need to let somebody else in and let them help you. Be accountable to somebody. It's really important. You know, we have some great friends. We have some great friends all over. But in our church, Dave and Fifi are great friends. We've known them since we worked. Dave and I worked for the same company as well as Ian. And we worked in South Korea in 1990 together and all got to know each other really well, being great friends ever since. You know what? Dave and Fifi have a front door key to our house. That's how much we trust them and love them and know that if there's any trouble, they could sort it out. Or if they could do things for us, we know that we can trust them completely and give them a front door key and say, you know what, you just hang on to that because you might need it and we might need you to do stuff. I want to encourage you that there might, if you're going through issues that you're struggling with, you might need to give a front door key to somebody, a spiritual front door key that can help you through those issues. I remember trying to help a guy years ago who struggled with pornography, and he had the guts to come and share it, which is the right thing to do. And through that, he was then able to be accountable. This is a long time ago, but it was in the days when you had VHSs. That's how old it was. But when you open up and give somebody a front door key like that, like working and praying with you, and be accountable to that person for what you do, you know what? It's like going to a slimming club, isn't it? It makes a difference. Why do you pay your £5 and get weighed in front of everyone? You know, because you're accountable for what's going on, and it makes a difference. I'm going to have to stop. The reason I talked this talk this morning, and maybe this is all I meant to say, the reason that when Martin asked me when we were doing Route 61, would you come and speak, a phrase came into my head straight away, so I need to say this. The phrase was, you'll never change. You'll never change. And I think there might be people here who've either said that to themselves or had it said to them. And I want to tell you that you can change. You might need to do some of these things about it, admitting we need help, letting God into our lives, being accountable to somebody else. But I want to tell you that you can change. It's a lie to think that you'll never change. Is it difficult to change? Yes, it is. It's difficult to change who we are and our character and the way that our mind has been processed over the years. But with God's help and with these things, you know, God can change us. We have someone in our church, and I hope she doesn't mind me mentioning, but Jane, the change that's gone on in Jane over these last months and year or so is absolutely incredible. And I think it's fantastic what God has done in her life, in the way she is, in her demeanor, in her character, in her look, in her family, in her job, in her home. Every area of her life, I think she would say, you can ask her herself, that God has helped and changed her so much. It's a delight. It's a delight to see that God, even after so many years of who we are, God can change us and God can change the circumstances we're in. It's a lie to think. It's a lie of the devil to think that you're stuck somewhere. You might be stuck in circles. You might be, because we can get like that. But to think that it'll always be like that, never. You know, God can change you if we reach out to him. I was going to pray. Is that okay? I'm a bit... Is that all right? 12. It says, let's pray. You know what? I just want to pray about three things. And because you might be here, and I'm not the greatest evangelist, but you might be here and you've never let God into your life. You've never confessed that Jesus is someone that you need his forgiveness. And actually, I would really encourage you to do that right now. We're going to pray right now. I'd also want to pray for people who want to reach out to God and help them change in situations. But let's pray first. You know what, I think it would be great if you have never given your life to Christ, that actually you stand up now. Is that okay? And if you stand up now, I just want to pray. I want to pray something. In fact, shall we all stand? I'll make it easy for us. Let's all stand. And if you want to give your life to Christ now for the first time, just raise your hand. I can't even see it anyway. But just raise your hand because God sees it. Okay, and I want to pray. And I want you to pray. But you know what? I don't want you to pray it in your head. If you want to pray this now for the first time, I want you to pray it out loud. Because the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. God will come in and forgive you of all your sins. So why don't you say this? I won't even pause for breath. Just repeat the words as I'm saying them. Jesus, come into my life. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. And I want you to be in my life and forgive me of my sins and walk with me every day of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And if you've done that, and if is that the first time, you must tell one of the leaders here at the church, okay? Come forward and tell one of the leaders at the church that you've done that. But if you've got an area in your life where you want to let God in more, and you want to open more windows and more doors, and you want to see God's transforming power in your life, could you put the last slide on for me? Just the last slide. If you want to see the transforming power of God in your life more and more, so that we become like Jesus, like this verse says. We become more like Jesus as we open our lives to him. Or if you've been stuck with some habits and problems and you might need to give somebody a spiritual front door key today, then can you also raise your hand? Raise your hands to God now and we'll just pray. Father, I thank you that you are in the business of changing people and that you're in the business of changing us. Lord, we thank you so much that you've saved us and that you love us and that you walk with us, Lord. Help us to open our lives up to you more and more. Help us to do that verse we looked at right at the start and offer our bodies as living sacrifices to you so that you can work in our lives. And help us start to look like you in our daily life, in our jobs, in our schools, in our colleges, Lord, in our workplaces, in the gym. Let us look more and more like Jesus in our character, in our life, in all that we do, Lord. Lord, help us in the transformation process as we give ourselves to you this year. Help us to end the year looking more like Jesus in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.